So for a good long while through priesthood, I had something of a priestly pet peeve when it came around time for me to take my yearly retreat. Priests are required by the law of the church to take time for retreat. And always would try, whether I was an associate or a pastor, try and communicate, hey, this is going to be my time of retreat. I'll be away. I'm praying for you. Pray for me. And inevitably, it would turn into, hey, how was your vacation, Father? And I think that most of us can be forgiven because that concept of retreat is unfortunately something that's not talked about enough of what it actually is. But then it would really get a little frustrating when you'd explain what it is and go, oh man, must be nice to be able to just get away and do nothing. Then it's a little harder to have compassion because we have images like this from Jesus in the gospel. This is the model of retreat. Retreat is not meant to be going away, putting your feet up, and doing nothing. If you're doing that, you're probably not experiencing retreat rightly. Instead, retreat is this going away somewhere else so that everything that would be distracting falls away. But as any of us know, the moment that we get rid of distraction, we tend not to feel peace, but actually really uneasy. Because all of the stuff that's kind of been stuffed down and stored away begins to emerge. Lent is kind of the church's call for all of us, priest, lay faithful, to engage in an annual retreat. Jesus goes into the desert. He's obedient to the will of his Father, right? This very, very powerful, very striking first line that the Spirit drives Jesus into the desert. Right? That there is an obedience there to go to a place where it is going to be difficult because he is indeed fully God, but also fully man. So he would experience the heat of the day. He would experience the hunger, the thirst. He's like us in all things but sin, meaning that there is temptation that is there waiting for him. He goes out there not because that's the way that he must confront the devil, as if there was no other way, not because he wants to get away to relax, not because he's so tough and he needs to show us just how strong he is, but it's so that when we go into the desert, most of the time, not physically, but spiritually, we know that we will find him there, that we are not alone, and that in fact he has already gone there and confronted Satan, confronted the wild beasts, and is there to minister to us in the way that the angels ministered to him. This is the model for our Lenten season. Throughout, you'll probably hear Father Conway and I talk a lot about the concept in spiritual theology of detachment. We may not use that word, but the concept will be there. We both kind of agreed this would be a good sort of theme for our Lenten preaching. And we have the wrong image of what detachment is. We have the wrong image of what penance is. So often we have it presented to us as we are all so bad that this is the yearly opportunity to have our noses rubbed in how bad we are so that we don't forget it and that we get broken down. Instead, this is the opportunity to confront the place where we are full of self-will. And self-will we might call pride, but I think self-will actually makes it clearer for us, and we need to remember that the song, I Did It My Way, is the theme of everyone who has ended up in hell or will end up in hell. And so it is the chance for us to search our own heart for those places where we still go, yeah, but I kind of do want it my way. So our penances are not meant to destroy us, but rather to confront and uproot those places of self-will and self-insistence. So do our penances look that way? and so that we know that God is not coming to destroy us, we're given this wonderful first reading, the moment that, in fact, the flood recedes. God has indeed purified the face of the earth. He's preserved those who were faithful, and now they're able to go out more fruitfully into a world that is utterly His. It teaches us what God's desire is and what the end goal of penance is, what the end goal of purification is, what the end goal of detachment is. It is so that we are free to rest in and to receive the goodness and the power and the strength of God. St. Paul says that Jesus has gone to heaven, not to leave us behind, but to assume this authority over the angels, the authorities, the powers, everything spiritual that could draw us away from God, that could take hold of us. He has power and authority over that, and we, by engaging in penance, by allowing ourselves to detach from those petty places that we insist our way is best, so that we can in fact receive the real authority that He desires to bring into our lives and to share with us. And we see this in His own life. After He has been obedient to the Father, through the Spirit going out into the desert, confronting the evil one, confronting these wild beasts, He comes back for the beginning of the reign of the kingdom. John has been arrested. The time of preparation is over. Jesus is coming now to take hold of His Father's kingdom. Something new is beginning. So also for us as we go through this season of Lent, it is the chance to begin again. So a few concrete things for us to consider. Just a very honest examination of our conscience. Where do we insist on our own way? Because life is about more than getting rid of just mortal sin. Mortal sin is the greatest expression of saying, I will do it my way. But there are so many other places that are kind of the seedbed for that, that we need to confront and just be honest about their presence in our life. Again, recognizing that Jesus leads us to these realizations, not to break us down or to shame us, but to say, you don't have to be controlled by that anymore. Let me set you free. It also challenges our prayer. If this is our yearly opportunity for retreat, then how are we allowing the things that distract us, that keep us out of the desert where we encounter the Lord, to fall away? One place that might be really good for us to look that we don't often look is, do we allow our prayers to get in the way of prayer? So we have our favorite prayers that we say. We have the rosary. We have the Divine Mercy Chaplet. All of these things are good. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But sometimes we can use those things as ways of spiritually distracting ourselves from the unpleasant stuff that needs to be healed, that needs to be challenged, that needs to be renewed. And so it may be good for us to bring to those times of prayer the desire for the Lord to meet us in those places. So if as we're praying those sort of rote or memorized prayers, and we become aware of something that the Lord needs to address, then we set that aside so that we can go with Him. We can allow the Spirit to drive us, maybe to the place that we don't want to go, but Jesus does. Again, so that He can heal us and strengthen us and set us free for the coming of His Father's kingdom in our own heart. And then, just very concretely, where can we let go of complaining? Because complaining is, in so many ways, the recourse that we take when the world doesn't do what we want it to. It is the manifestation of our self-will. Now, I'm not talking about if you have a peanut allergy and you go to the restaurant and you tell them that and they bring you something with peanuts on it, complain. You don't have to go into anaphylactic shock for this. Instead, I'm talking about all of the other stuff that we don't have control over. Oh, I can't believe the lights. I can't believe the weather. I can't believe these politicians. I can't believe, insert, complain about something we can't control. And in fact, if we really desire to grow, to actually take time as we are thanking God for the gifts that He gives to us, to thank Him for those things. Not because suffering from hitting all of the traffic lights going somewhere, all the way to serious illness or the loss of someone we love, not because these things are good. Jesus has come to save us from sin and sorrow, from suffering, from the evil one in His Father's kingdom in heaven. And the way to get there is the death of our self-will. And so Jesus, by going to the cross, going to that greatest contradiction of our self-will, death, can turn all of those things to an instrument, a divine medicine that uproots our self-insistence. So stage one, I'm going to avoid complaining, perhaps to anyone except Jesus. We can still talk to Jesus about the things that bother us. But stage two, I'm going to thank God for these things, not because they're good in themselves, but because in the greatness of His power, He is able to take even death and anything less than death and turn it to my good by emptying me of my self-will, so that instead I can receive His kingdom. I can receive His peaceful reign. I can receive His power, under which everything spiritual, angels, authorities, powers are subject to Him, so that I am only obedient to, docile to, the one who actually loves me, who actually created me, who actually desires what is best. So may we embrace this yearly retreat that the church gives to us, no, not as a chance for rest, but as a chance for authentic healing, for authentic challenge to our self-will, and for authentic renewal of the kingdom of God present in our heart through the ministry of Jesus to us in our need.